Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Oh, it's Jack Black.
Oh, you fucker.
welcome. You know what? I appreciate that you did a Crypt Keeper voice for this episode because one of the first things that jumped out to me when I hit play was, man, the Crypt Keeper's voice changed a lot from the first season to the later
seasons. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, props to John Cassier for keeping it going all those years. But yeah, it definitely took a few changes. Up and down, especially as we got into the mid-90s with, what was it?
Demon Knight.
Demon Knight. Oh, my God. Whoa.
And we said Demon Wind.
Yeah. Which is
a very different thing.
Very different thing. Definitely not as good. I love Demon Knight. Do you like Demon Knight?
Demon Knight's great. I also enjoy Bordello of Blood for
like
what
Bordello,
it is.
I like Bordello, for sure.
It's just a big, dumb movie. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes you just want Dennis Leary shooting a super soaker filled with holy water at a bunch of naked vampires.
You do. You like, definitely do. So what is your history with Tales from the Crypt?
So I first learned of Tales from the Crypt from the short-lived Saturday morning cartoon Tales from the Crypt Keeper. And I loved that show but was afraid to watch the real show because I was a scaredy pants as a child.
Dude, good call. That show's like fucking horrifying. Like, I mean, yeah. if just watching those episodes now, I can see there's some shit that will fuck you up. Like,
oh, for sure. Definitely. But I did watch one episode. I watched one episode as it aired. They did an episode called The Third Pig, in which Bobcat Goldthwait played the big bad wolf, and it was like a violent retelling of The Three Little Pigs. And I loved my cartoons, and I love Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. So I was like, I can give this a shot. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And I enjoyed it. It was weird, but it didn't, like, do any permanent damage to me.
And that was the final episode.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. That was the final episode. And I would think about that episode constantly.
Yeah.
So my freshman or sophomore year of college, I'm walking around Target, and all of a sudden I see Tales from the Crypt season one on DVD.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah. I'm like, I wonder if that's got that animated episode. And it was only like $10, so I grabbed it. And I watched it, and it didn't have the cartoon episode. But I was like, it's probably in the second season. So the second season comes out, bought that, not in there. This went on for about the first four seasons before I'm like, all right, I got to find out when the fuck this episode Then I find out it's the last episode of the series, but I've come this far and I'm a completionist, so like I'm getting the rest. Yeah, but I mean, any anthology series, I would say the same thing. I love The Twilight Zone, but like even The Twilight Zone, there's a lot of misses.
Yes.
There's a lot of misses throughout, and Tales from the Crypt is no different. I actually think Tales from the Crypt is one of the few anthology series where it's more like a season miss versus like a specific episode.
Okay.
Miss. Like I think season two of Tales from the Crypt is almost a flawless season of anthology stories. But then I also think like season six, there's one that's in England. The whole season's in England.
Really?
And that season just does not do it for me. Like, so I think it really like kind of depends what you're into, and like now it's just like campy ridiculousness.
Exactly. I mean, Tales from the Crypt for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is it for you?
I've never sat down and watched it all the way through, and I always attempt, but I've admitted on this show I'm really bad at TV.
If you hit really like two bad episodes in a row, yeah, it really sucks the wind out of
your sails. I get really distracted and just I go on to other things. But I distinctly remember my dad used to wake me up for school, and I used to go to a Catholic school, so we'd mm-hmm. have to be rolling up in there at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and he would wake me up to get ready for school, and it would be on syndication. And I would watch the episode in their room as I was getting ready. Because my parents didn't like shelter me from anything. So I was always aware of the Crypt Keeper, but I didn't watch the show a lot. But there's one episode that distinctly stuck out to me. And it was the episode where Danny DeVito dates twins and yep. convinces them that he has a twin. And in the end, they find out that he doesn't have a twin, but they saw his ass in half. And that final scene of them laying with Danny DeVito's like halved body in each of their beds fucked me up for life.
It's so gory. Like the stuff that they got away with on this show was so gory. Like even for HBO, because like, here's the thing. Like this is
89. Yeah. The first season is 89. So this is early HBO.
But it's not even just that. Like I'm thinking like, yeah, there's some like violent, horrific stuff that happens even in modern day HBO with like Game of Thrones. Yeah. But I don't think that there's ever been something before or after like Tales from the Crypt, because it is like Peter Jackson Dead Alive level.
Yeah,
gore.
And honestly,
you know what I mean? Like it's really insane.
And there's something that Teddy and I were kind of picking out a couple weeks ago. We've been going through the Texas Chainsaw series. Mm-hmm. And we watched the first one all the way through and then started watching the second one, and we decided to make dinner while we were about to watch the second one. And I don't know when the last time you watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was, but that movie's fucking gross.
Yeah, no, it's a very gross movie.
I love that movie and I can deal with gore, but there's
but it's not an eating food
exactly.
while watching.
There's
yeah.
there's something about some of that like late 80s stuff that even when it's campy and it's not supposed to be scary, it's fucking gross, dude.
I think of like Bad Taste. Bad Taste is one of
yeah.
those movies where it's like it's just so fucking gross.
Yeah. 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 It's there's something about it, even if it looks super fake, doesn't look real, there's something like it's oozy, it's wet. It's always wet. And that's
Uzi's the right word
yeah,
for
it's
sure.
Uzi. Yeah, for sure. But I absolutely adore Tales from the Crypt. I love the campiness of it. They tried to revive the comic series a couple years back, and it kind of fell flat and wasn't that great. But I do appreciate the series, and I wish it would be picked up for streaming, because it's definitely, I think it could live another life.
I think
if it
so
was
too.
Picked up for streaming.
But I think the other thing with it is like, I think it's hard to bring back in a sense.
Yeah.
Because like, I know that they've tried that too. But like you said, like the 50s comics only really work because it was so intense
yeah.
for the 50s. And you're never going to match that in like the 2000s. And I think the same goes with like, I don't know. I think people would be too quick to bitch that it's like the amount of people who bitch about horror movies being funny and thus they're not good, like
yeah,
there's gonna be some obnoxious assholes that are like Tales from the Crypt fuck yeah, like with no understanding of what the show is supposed to be,
yeah,
and then raising this hoopla about like it's just gory and silly, and it's like that's the fucking whole point. Sit the fuck down. But you know what's legitimately creepy in this?
Yeah.
The fucking Santa mask that they
oh
have
my God.
The Crypt Keeper wearing.
His eyes in that mask, like, they're absolutely perfect. I wish that was the Crypt Keeper's face, because it's much more horrifying.
Oh,
than the actual Crypt Keeper.
This is so, I just decided to watch the whole first season today when I went to watch this episode, because it's only 6 episodes.
Good choice, though. I
you
like
can
the
knock
first
it out.
Season.
It's all right. This episode is one of the better episodes
yeah.
for sure, but I almost feel like its reputation is so strong that it almost takes away from it, because it's like this doesn't need, like I like this story, but this doesn't need to be like 25 minutes
no
like,
it definitely doesn't. Did you I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
I have the original movie, and I could not tell you how this plays out in it.
Yeah, like, no.
I just can't get into Hammer movies, man. I want to so badly. And it's like, yeah, they're gorgeous, but I, like, my eyes just glaze over. Like, I put them on, and I'm sitting there, and I'm staring at it, but I don't retain a fucking thing.
Those damn Brits. I can't. Yeah,
I can't do it. I can't do it, man.
But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. I own it. But yeah, as you and I
have the Blu-ray.
Before,
Scream Factory gave us a double feature Blu-ray, and it's sitting on my shelf.
We both own a lot of movies we've never watched.
I mean, no. I own a lot of movies that I've watched and didn't remember
All right. I own a lot of movies that I haven't watched yet.
They get watched. I just don't retain
them. I watch them eventually.
But I do want to say that the best episode of this season is actually the last episode, Collection Complete, where the guy retires and gets sick of his wife's random pets, and he taxidermies everything that she, every pet that she has, and then she murders him and taxidermies him onto her couch.
If there's anything, I know I said it was the Danny DeVito episode, but if there's anything else that has stuck with me as a kid, it's his taxidermied fucking face. Those eyes. Oh my god, dude! It's always the eyes, man. Yeah, I don't know what it was when I was a kid.
The bulging eyes, the stitched together mouth, and the fact that there's like cotton and foam coming out from around his face.
Oh, fucking horrifying!
It's so horrifying, but I love it. Like that's like the one where I'm like, this is what the Tales from the Crypt show is about.
Yeah,
like, that really kept, because this one's almost too tame for what I think of for Tales from the Crypt.
I agree. Rewatching it last night, because I have watched this multiple times. I think a lot of people have. It is very tame, and you're always waiting for it to go that next step. Like, is he going to kill that little girl? Even the Crypt Keeper says at the end, he's like, nope, he likes older women. Like, and so it is very tame. I think Larry Drake is awesome, though.
I was going to say, give it up for Larry Drake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an iconic episode, and my only big note was, it is really nice to just get to listen to Christmas Song in its entirety. Like, that opening is so long.
Such a great opening, though. I love it. You open anything with Christmas Song, I'm for it. Just let it play.
I know. There was a certain point where I'm like, there can't possibly be 2.5 minutes worth of credits.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's kick this off. We open on Christmas Eve, and you know, Christmas Eve, if there's any time in the world to just murder your husband, I guess Christmas Eve is it, man.
There was something that I never picked up before. Is this actually her second husband?
Yes, because it's not the girl's dad. Because
yeah,
because
the girl's
him...
dad refers to him by his name, exactly. And I never caught that before.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the girl calls him Joseph, says, good night, Joseph. And it is basically, I mean, I would assume that it's her stepdad. And she basically takes a fire poker and plants it right in his forehead, which is, I think that's a great kind of twist towards this story, which, I mean, I know this was in 89, but we've seen Killer Santa stories up to this point. And I think it was a cool twist that's not all that's going on here.
No, because she would have been fine if she hadn't killed her husband.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she had the situation locked down.
Yep.
But then she's like, oh, I need to make it look more like he killed my husband.
Yeah.
And then that's where shit goes wrong for her.
Which I think there's even a way that you can make him look like he killed your husband and then bounce, like roll out of there, like grab your kid. Once you planted the axe in your husband's head, we're skipping ahead here, but basically, like, it's announced on the radio that an insane man in a Santa costume has escaped, and he's going around killing people. And basically, she's not too worried about it until he shows up at her house. So we've got this weird dynamic where the cops are calling and saying they're going to visit just to make sure she's okay. But her husband's dead body is also laying out on the front step because she murdered him. So she has to decide, does she want the cops to come and protect her and check on her, or does she want to get away with murder? And basically, we've got that dynamic of her fighting Larry Drake, but also trying to hide her husband's body at the same exact time. At one point, she's able to knock Larry Drake, Santa Claus, out with the back of the axe. And then she goes out front with the axe and is basically like, I'm going to make it look like he murdered my husband. Plants the axe in his forehead. Why she goes back inside and then makes the phone call, I'll never know. The cops are on their way.
Yeah, just
scoop
chill.
Your kid and roll out, or like you just said, chill. Keep an eye on the body, and when it gets up, then make your move.
Did you recognize who the woman is, by the way?
Mary Ellen Trainer. I did recognize her face.
So listen to this stacked IMDb credits. First of all, she was the mom in The Goonies.
Okay.
Then she was the mom in Monster Squad.
Oh, shit.
She's Sean's mom in Monster Squad. She plays Gail Wallins in Die Hard, then was immediately in Scrooge, then immediately in Ghostbusters 2. So she was in three Christmas-themed movies back to back to back.
Dude, she loves Christmas. We should is she alive? I don't want to say
I'll
we
check.
Should get her
Let's
on.
See.
Nope, she passed away in 2015.
Oof. Oh wow,
that's
62. That's not a good sign.
No.
Appeared in Lethal Weapon 2 and 3 and 4, was in Back to the Future 2, was in Death Becomes Her, was in Forrest Gump, was in Little Giants, Congo, and the Freaky Friday movie.
That's right. She played Al Bundy's wife in Little Giants. That's where I know her from in my childhood. Like, that's the one that pops out in my head.
It's so wild. Like, I'm looking at this lineup, and I'm like, I have seen almost every single movie. Oh!
What?
You ready for all of this to make sense?
Yeah, go for it.
She's Robert Zemeckis' wife.
That makes sense.
It's like, of course, she's Robert Zemeckis' wife and was really good friends with Kathleen Kennedy, who worked with Steven Spielberg extensively and served as the president for Lucasfilm. So, like, she just, I mean, she's a good actress.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
not
she's
like,
a
oh,
good actress.
But, yeah, she, that makes sense why she was almost exclusively only in heavy hitter films, was like her husband was one of the biggest directors of the 80s and her friend was like the head of the biggest production company of the 80s. So like you didn't have to slum it in a bunch of like random indie films here and there.
I mean, you know who the husband is though, right?
Well, he's like the producer of one of the seven producers of Tales from the Crypt.
Well,
the husband and the, I'm sorry, I'm like, I know who Robert Zemeckis is.
No,
doing.
No. No, the husband in this.
No.
That's Marshall Bell. That's Coach Snyder from Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
There it is. And he's
man.
Another stacked, as I'm looking at this filmography, Freddy's Revenge, Manhunter, Stand By Me.
Yeah, dude. Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall. He's Quado. Total Recall. Twins, Dick Tracy, Oscar. I mean, he's not like starring roles in any of these.
No, but I mean,
Innocent Blood, Silence of the Hams.
Yeah, he is very much a character actor, but I mean,
Airheads. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I wish Airheads was technically a Christmas movie.
Oh,
I'd
my
talk
God.
About that all
I could definitely cover a lot when it comes to Airheads. But he's the cop, remember? He's the one that finds out that Brendan Fraser's name is Chester. And he's like, Chester.
So.
The ending's fun.
The ending is a lot of fun. It's the only line of dialogue that Larry Drake has. Are you naughty? Oh, nice.
So have you had the pleasure of meeting Larry Drake?
I have never met Larry Drake, and I guess I don't have a chance now.
Yeah, unfortunately he has passed away. I didn't get a chance.
But
Dr.
Giggles is like one of my absolute favorite
never
slasher
seen
films.
Never
Dr.
seen
Giggles
Dr. Giggles
is so, you know what? I know we keep trying to plan you coming out this way. I think Dr. Giggles is in your future.
Okay.
When you come here.
I'm down to watch it. I'm Dr. Giggles and cheesesteaks, if we can make that happen, man. I'm for it.
But yeah, I mean, I think the problem, and we said it early, and it kind of shows in our description of it, too, is like, the setup and the punchline is there, and then it's like, well, what do we do with these other 10 to 15 minutes that we have?
Definitely. I mean, it. There's nothing special about the episode once you get to the meat of it.
And it's like just so many killer Santa movies and so many killer, like,
yeah,
it's almost a trope that I'm like pretty sick of at this point, just because, like, as we learned a couple weeks ago with like American Horror Story, like there's only so many ways to make it interesting anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
and I think that's why, like, as much as you and I talk bad about like Better Watch Out, I appreciate that they tried to do something different with their Christmas horror. There's no shortage of Christmas horror movies, especially in 2021. And I appreciate the ones that do something a little different. And I do like the differences that this had. But by 1989, we still already had too many Killer Santa movies.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's... Honestly, people dying during Christmas is a novel enough idea.
Yeah.
I guess Silent Night, Deadly Night is the biggest one to blame, in a sense. Because while, like, Christmas Evil existed, Christmas Evil never feels truly like a Killer Santa movie.
Yeah.
To me. Like, it's more about, like, a mentally unstable man who's playing Santa. But it's not, like... Silent Night, Deadly Night added this whole element of, like, naughty or nice being a motivating factor in the Killer Santa.
Yeah.
And it's like, like, that's cool the first two or three go-arounds, yeah. But, like, how many times can you make that you can't make that interesting 20 times.
Yeah, like, and I'd be curious to, was that a factor here? I mean, because I would, maybe Larry Drake's character would have murdered her regardless. And he just really liked to say naughty or nice at the end.
He knows how to play a good, like, this is a really great performance of, like, a borderline mime.
Yeah.
Crazy person.
Yeah. So it's hard because I don't know what he's like in Dr. Giggles, but Larry Drake has such an expressive face that you constantly do want him to say something.
Oh, he talks a lot.
And I'm very excited for that. And as much as I do like End All Through the House, I feel like we almost wasted Larry Drake.
No, for sure. You know, we wrap it back up. Yeah. That creepy fucking Santa mask is laying on the ground in the crypt.
Yep.
We pan over the crypt keeper and he has a couple zingers. I can't remember any of them. And then we get that iconic closing instrumental from Danny Elfman and the show is done.
Are there any other Christmas episodes?
I don't think so. The crypt?
Which is weird, especially because this was the second episode in the season and it came out in June.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite episode of Tales from the Crypt?
Ooh, a favorite episode of Tales from the Crypt. I don't think so. Here's what I'm going to do, Matt. I'm going to check back in on that. I think over the Halloween season, I'm going to watch all Tales from the Crypt. Just something to do, something different that I haven't done before. And I'll report back with my favorite episode. But Matt, dude, have we got a loaded October?
It's going to be a good one.
It's definitely going to be a good one. And Matt, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Dylan. Whoa, oh, whoa, oh, oh, now we won't stop till the big ball drops on New Year's. Happy holiday, have a great, great, great holiday, have a merry, 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 merry happy holiday.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.